Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to everyone who is in this room with us today. And welcome to you who might be joining us online. Thank you for being part of Brookside Baptist Church today. We are so grateful that God has brought you here to us. Because it is an amazing and wonderful day, isn't it? It's a fantastic opportunity for us to come together, to share in each other's company and fellowship, to praise. Although we might not be allowed to sing, we can certainly, most definitely, continue to praise our God. But more importantly, more excitingly, from next week, things change again. I think I start every week with things changing, yeah? But this is a really exciting. From next week, we can get back to pretty much normal. We can double in capacity. That's right. We can have more people here. The party's going to get bigger. It is going to go crazy. So if you've been watching from home or staying away because you've been afraid of being turned away, good news is next week we will have most definitely room for you. Actually, we've got room for you today if you wanted to come and join us. Next week, you won't have to worry about will I get a seat. And we're looking forward to getting together, all of us again, real soon. We also are excited because we get a whole heap of new things open up to us. So, I put down my clicker. Where did I put down my clicker? It's over there. Hang on. So, announcements. As we said, we are doing our Safe Church health check. We will be having a day coming up very soon where we will be going through all of this. We'll get you to fill out the paperwork here now. Everything will be hunky-dory. We're going to make it on the same day that we do the AGM, which is coming up very shortly. That way, we'll kill two birds, one stone. Actually, you know what? I'll even sweeten the deal. We'll get some pizza as well. If you hang around for the meeting, if you hang around to fill out some forms, I will give you pizza. Okay? I'm not above bribery. All right. My next announcement is a very special one. Every year, we at Brookside run a footy tipping competition. Now, for those of you who haven't been involved this year, I have to tell you, it has been the most contentious year ever. I think a lot of people have put up their hand and said, oh, look, no, I disagree with the results. So this is what has happened. The person who has come first is left town, and they're not getting the trophy because we'll never see it again. Right? So they have abdicated. Is that the right word, Jim? They have given up that position. So we have decided to give award it to second place. Now, there's been some contention, but the official ruling is, and don't yell at me because I am the official ruler, that the trophy this year is going to, drum roll please, me. No. The person who came second at the end of the regular season, Mao, come on down the front, come and collect your trophy. The Brookside Cup, what we go for every year, it is in my hands, and I get to hand it on to you. Barbara's in the other room. But if you go in there and do a little dance, I'm sure it'll be good. So, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this year's Brookside Cup, Mal. Yeah, you better put it into like a briefcase with your wrist. All right. And my final announcement is that after our service today, if you are interested whatsoever about joining our worship team, we're going to have a meeting after our service. So Please hang around for that. If you are currently in the music team or want to be in the music team or think that you can carry a note. Yep. I carried a note the other... Yeah, yeah. He steals my jokes. How sad is that? Jim is stealing my jokes. Anyway, that's our announcements for today. So in Psalm 65, verse 8, we read this. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Today we have another opportunity to worship our God. It's something that we should do not just on a Sunday morning, but a way of life. Today we come and we joyfully worship our Savior. He calls to each of us to enter into relationship with Him, to worship Him. He invites us to leave the baggage that we have behind with Him and to enter into His presence. So this morning we are going to worship, and we have a video from EMU Music. Now, I've got to say it, we're not allowed to sing, but we can still sing within our hearts. But what I thought we should do, even though we can't verbally sing, I think we should still stand for this song. So this song's called This Life I Live. It's by EMU Music. Hopefully the sound desk's all ready to go on this.
He took it to be
Lord, are carrying burdens, things that we desperately want to get rid of, but find ourselves for some reason unable to. Father, this morning we pray that you would help us to take a little bit of that off, to hand a little bit over to you and say, God, this isn't mine. I don't want to carry this anymore. Father, we think of those in our church who are dealing with health issues, both of a physical nature and a mental nature, but also a spiritual nature. Father, we pray that you would bring healing and comfort. Lord, where bodies are sore, that you will bring healing. Where minds are struggling, you will bring peace. And spirits that feel chaotic, you would bring calmness. Father, we come before you and we acknowledge that you are the God of all. You are the God who was at the beginning, and you are the God who stands at the end. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that we are continuing to live through a pandemic. Father, we thank you for restrictions and freedoms that seem to be opening up just a little bit more. Father, we pray for the day when things will be back to where we feel comfortable, that we might do the things that bring us joy as a form of worship to you. But ultimately, Father, we thank you for one thing. We thank you that while we were still far off, your Son, Jesus, came to this earth. He lived among us. He knows what we go through. We thank you that he died to restore us to you, to bring back relationship. And most of all, we thank you for the way he was resurrected on the third day, bringing life from death, just like he has done for all of us, turned us from the dead to the living. So, Father, we pray that we might live for you. Amen. Alrighty, we're going to now have our Bible reading, which is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And Linda is going to come and read that for us. Thanks, Linda.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Thank you.
A mystery lover takes place, takes his seat in a theater for an opening night performance. But his seat, for some reason, is way in the back, and it's far from the stage. So this mystery lover calls the usher over and whispers to them, "Look, I love a good mystery. And I've been anxiously anticipating the opening of this play. However, in order to carefully follow the clues and fully enjoy the play, I want to watch the mystery up close. Look how far away I am. If you can get me a better seat, I will give you a handsome tip." The usher nods and says, "I'll be back shortly." Looking forward to a large tip, the usher speaks with his co-workers, hoping to find a ticket closer to the stage. With just 3 minutes left until curtain time, he finds an unused ticket, a spot dead center on the front row. He snatches it up and returns to the man and says, "Hey, follow me, I've got you a better seat." The usher leads the man right down the front. Middle seat, right there. He can see it all. "Thank you so much," this mystery lover says. "This seat is perfect." He puts his hands into his pocket and hands the usher a couple of coins. The usher looks down at the change in his hand. He leans over and whispers to the man, "The butler did it in the parlor with a candlestick." I don't know about you, but I find mystery stories, when they're told well, to be incredibly satisfying. I get engrossed in the story and the drama of it all. I try and take in as much as possible. I try and solve it before the big reveal. I don't know about you, but I'm terrible at working out what has actually gone on. I get the wrong person from the start and I stick with them. And then when the reveal does come, the fun really starts. You go back and you start thinking about all the clues that you missed and how they fit together. You shake your head when you realize, of course it had to be them. They were the one with the best motive. Of course it was the candlestick. It was right there next to the body. Of course there was a secret door that allowed them to get out of the locked room when no one else could. I shake my head and I wonder how those kids and that dog managed to solve that mystery before me. That's a Scooby-Doo reference for those of you who didn't pick it up. They were there. They understood. They saw clues firsthand. When it all fits together, I feel so satisfied. And when I understand and I get it, I go, yes, this was a good told story. This was a good image, a great metaphor. And that's the feeling Paul wants us to get here in chapter 3. The excitement of realizing a hidden truth. To see all the clues that were pointing to it throughout time. To see that the great detective had solved it. I feel like I need to twirl a mustache or something. Paul reveals a great mystery for us here. We find it in the very beginning. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the good news, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body and sharing together the promise in Christ Jesus. The great mystery here that Paul is talking about is how God cared for all of us. That God cares and offers salvation to everyone. It's one of the most significant revelations of God. It's really important for us to get a hold of. Generations before Jesus missed it. But thanks to the things that we have available to us, the whole story, the big picture, we see that the love and the mercy of God was never meant just for one particular people group, but for all mankind. And since the beginning, God has been reaching out and wanted the Gentiles included. And now in Christ, that has been made known. In Christ, we have heard a message of hope, salvation for all. But Paul himself is a man of mystery. I feel like he is a bit of a spy. I mean, here's this guy, we call him Paul now, who was once called Saul. Why would God choose Saul to be the representative and to reach out to the Gentiles? I mean, Saul was a Pharisee. He was someone whose job it was to make sure that nobody broke the Ten Commandments and that all the other laws were followed to the letter. Have you ever met a person that's so obsessed with rules? They're not really a gracious sort of person. No, I shouldn't say that because maybe some of you follow the rules too much. But it just seems weird that Saul, this law keeper, the one who was meant to be obsessed about Judaism, was placed in charge of Gentiles. This was his revelation from God. Not only that, Saul beforehand, you know, he was in charge of finding those Jews who had accepted Jesus as Messiah and bring them to justice. Saul was the guy who knew the law and the importance of keeping it pure. And I'm like, how do I explain this to you? Well, I thought it's a little bit like this. It's like if Billy Slater, that Queensland football player, in the height of his career said, you know what, I'm no longer playing for Queensland, I'm now playing for New South Wales. Like, that is just absurd, isn't it? But better yet, it's like Lex Luthor helping Superman. It's Lex Luthor becoming the good guy and fighting the cosmic threats along Superman. Look, it's not meant to happen, is it? But this mystery, thing that Paul is now doing, it's the revelation, it was the truth, it was the mystery. That Jesus wasn't just for the Jews, Jesus and this mystery needs to be understood by all, even us dinky-dye Aussies who have never traveled to the Middle East. So Paul expands a little bit here. Verses 6 to 8. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace through me, the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul talks about how here, this is good news, that the cross and Christ's sacrifice was about providing salvation for everyone. But it's more than just simply salvation. It's reconciliation. And it's reconciliation here between enemies. And this is what has happened. Through Christ, God and the Jewish people have reconciliation. God cares about them and he wants them in his family. Through Christ, God and the Gentiles have been reconciled. And that's a huge statement. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about the country you were born in. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's salvation and reconciliation for all. And Paul goes on and talks about this more. And he says, you know what? This revelation is actually... This reconciliation is between Jews and Gentiles as well. Now, we have a little bit of a problem. We don't get all the little subtleties that Jesus talks about. Yeah, when Jesus shares the story of the Good Samaritan, it's an insult to the Jewish people who had been paying attention. Because the Samaritans were enemies of Israel. They weren't favored, they were outside of the promise. When he casts out demons, when he casts out legion, he sends them into the pigs. What is a Jew doing hanging around pork? Sorry, over stereotype there. When Jesus talks about salvation as being like a great pearl, we miss that seafood, oysters, were unclean to the Jewish people. No wonder here Paul is talking about these things and saying, no, the what you call unclean and what we call clean has been brought together because of him. We need to get excited because this reconciliation isn't about where we've come from. It's about who we are in. We need to make this essential to our lives and our understanding. And most importantly, we got to understand that before Christ, we were outside of the promises. But now... now we're not just saved. Now we're not just brought in just into the gates. Now we're not just brought into the temple courts. No, we've been brought into the holies of holies. We stood outside, but now the same God that was available to the Jews is open to us, the Gentiles. Paul talks about how this is a mystery. Why all of a sudden God brings in the Gentiles, us? Do you know what? This is such a mystery that even the angels were looking at him like, what's going on here? Verse 9 to 10. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this message, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. We constantly talk about how God and us need to be on a journey together, that we need to continue to learn about God, that we need to continue to grow in our relationship and develop our understandings. And this is a picture here of angels who are created beings just like we are, going through the same thing. In 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, it tells us this. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with great care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. But when they spoke of things that have been told to you now by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Even angels are curious about God's plan because part of what God is doing has not been revealed to them. Part of what God is doing hasn't been disclosed to us. God's plan concerning us was initially hidden. But it's fascinating as you look at all the promises that God makes in the Old Testament, it sort of looks like a giant funnel, a giant V, driving us to a point. A point that we see come up and fulfilled in Christ. Salvation was always meant for all people. Israel were meant to be the ones who brought that salvation known. Initially it was hidden, now it is revealed. But Paul is also making us know that with knowledge comes responsibility. And the responsibility is that we understand that all people can be part of the body of Christ. Part of us realizes that it's not just special people, it's not just the few, but rather all types of people make up his church. In fact, look around. I think we're all different types of people, aren't we? If you're all Daryl clones, I would be really scared. All types of people make up his church. And Paul is also reminding us that if we're all part of God's church, if we're all part of the one body, then we all serve the same mission, which is the spreading of the good news, the grace of God, and salvation to those who yet don't know. Paul is calling us to play an active role in God's plan, to be God's witnesses on earth, and also in heaven as angels watch on. The mystery has been revealed. It's vital to Paul. It's essential to the Gentiles. It's magnificent in the eyes of the angels. And finally, this mystery made known should be important to us, to Christians, to those who have come after the cross, for those who have put their faith in Christ. Verses 11 to 13. According to his eternal purpose, he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged by my suffering for you, which are your glory. Again, we miss some of the subtleness here. I think there's a callback going on in these verses. A callback to the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, when the Ten Commandments came down, the Jews that follow God were told, if you follow these Ten Commandments, you would be blessed, and you would be blessed abundantly, and you would be given a promised land. But if you turned your back, if you turned away from me, if you go your own way, then you will sustain a curse. But in the New Testament, we're told that believers are blessed because we see things differently. And while it doesn't say that we are cursed, we do lose when we turn our back on Christ. We lose our fellowship with Christ, with each other, the enjoyment of his company, living the Spirit-filled life. It's like we live in a vacuum. A vacuum that is full of us instead of God. One writer talked about how God has given us a roadmap to follow, his word. Yet, how many times do we pull out another map instead of his? How many times do we come across and wonder why we're so far off course? The roadmap for God's work on earth is a journey that the church needs to make. Again, when we were outside, we were off track. We were out of his blessing. But when we come in and we submit to the Lord Jesus, we get put on track. It's the secret. Oh, the secret. Sorry, not the secret, if you know that book. But God's secret is out of the bag. You, right now, salvation is available for you. Right now, you have a position in Christ where you can freely walk into the presence of God. Because of Christ, because we are in Christ, we get to live in it, and our goal is to share the blessing with others. And every time we share that blessing, it gets filled up in our own lives. I feel like making a pun about renewable resources and about how solar power doesn't work perfectly. It does work, but God's blessing is a renewable resource that keeps filling us up. And that's another mystery for us altogether. It's huge. It's no longer that we have to be of a chosen people. It's no longer that it's about where we are geographically born. It's no longer about who our parents were or who our parents' parents were. It's no longer about proving our lineage to prove that we are worthy. No, in Christ, all have been brought to God. At the beginning, we talked about a mystery. and sort of hinted at and hidden that in this mystery was something a little bit negative. Usually in a mystery, there's a crime that has taken place. But the mystery of Christ is not that a crime has taken place, but that his blessing is given abundantly to all. Actually, his blessing is available to all. But those who realize it are in Christ. The challenge for us is to understand our position in Christ, to begin to walk and live in it, to share it with others. That is the mystery that we need to make known. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the cross and what it means. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that you have brought us in. Lord, you haven't made us at the low spot. You've brought us right up to the head table, the holies of holies. And we thank you that that has happened in Jesus. And God, at times we acknowledge that it seems like mystery to us, that we don't have all the answers, but God, we do know, and we put our faith in you. So Father, we hope and we ask that you would help us understand what our position is in you, that we might begin to walk lives that bring you glory and honor, that we might live out this blessing that you have given to us. Father, we pray that you might take these words and convict our hearts, that we might continue to draw closer to you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Alrighty. Do I want to try another song? Will be good. All right. So we're going to spend some time dwelling on that mystery through the art of reflective listening. That's where you listen and reflect. So we're going to play No Other Name by the Emu Music Guys again, and then we'll be back to conclude our service.
There is no other name.
Well, thank you for joining with us today. Thank you for joining Brookside Baptist Church. We're so grateful that you have come together to worship. And even though we might be separated by distance, we look forward to worshiping together in person very soon. So if you can make it in person next week, we would absolutely love to see you. If not, we will be right here as well. So let me pray to close our service. Father God, we thank you for our time together. Lord, we thank you for the way that you draw us near over and over. Father, may we recognize your voice. May we know your love. Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Something for us to think over this week. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all the generations, forever and ever. Amen. So make it a great week, guys. Know that we are praying for you, and we hope to see you all soon. God bless. So those who are interested in joining the worship team, we will have a meeting.